Well, bless the Lord.
Let's talk about the key of David for a little bit this morning. Gary Carpenter's wife, Sue Carpenter, which may be watching this morning, which is a very close friend of mine and Candy's, and many of you in this church, was in the prayer center of Tulsa and had a word from the Lord. This has been many years ago, and the word was desolation. And she heard that word, and with it came some kind of meaning that the Lord began to put forth, an understanding to start with. She didn't know what it meant. She knew what desolation meant, but she didn't know exactly what it meant for them then or us now or the whole body. And what it interpreted out to was, and we'll have scripture on it in just a moment, but the Lord began to reveal to her and other leadership that the enemy would come, if he could, in the last days to stop the outpouring with any device or anything possible to try to destroy the outpouring and bring us to a place, not just them there or any other place or the Jim Martins or the Gary Flints or the Bronc Flints, but anybody that is seeking this. Listen, God's got a plan for you. I hope you're praying in tongues. My God. Oh, my Jesus in heaven, do you not understand that it's not just a purging, but it's also a compass? Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that he makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who knows the mind of the Spirit maketh intercession for us according to the will. Now, let me appeal to your selfish side for just a moment, your flesh side, okay? Let me jump tracks, get out of the spirit realm, and let me just appeal a little bit to your flesh side. Do you know, I hope you understand that that encompasses not just your spiritual walk, but your entire walk in this life ought to be orbiting like all planets orbit the sun. Your whole life ought to be orbiting Christ and the Father. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you, for your life. I'm right here at this moment in time on this day in March 2023 preaching the word to you because I have prayed the divine will of God through tongues for the last 30 years of my life, and it has brought me to this particular place at this particular moment. As I said, let me appeal to the flesh side of you. I'm only kidding partially. Riches are in there. The best things that could possibly happen to your life is in there. Divine appointments are in there. Listen, don't feel bad about your bad choices in the past. Life is always going to find ups and downs and bumps in the road. And you're going to find those no matter what. But do you realize, and I'm saying, this is for all of us, do you realize that a lot of lots and lots and lots and lots, I'm talking about not just people that are way out there, but lots of your bumps and bad times could way have been bypassed. If you'd have been praying more in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about not just closet time, just on the road. He's praying the divine mysteries of God for you. The person you hired that you shouldn't have hired, you wouldn't have hired. He would have told you. The car that you should not have bought, he would have told you if you'd have been praying enough in the Holy Ghost. I'm convinced, I don't know about you, I'm convinced that half or two-thirds of the dilemmas I could bypass. Now, persecution, you won't hardly be able to bypass. That it is what it is for Christ's sake. But humps and bumps and all kinds of things. My finances are terrible. Part of the reason why your finances are terrible is because of things that you did and that we did. We're loose. I didn't have any of this plan. We're loose cannons when it comes to spending. and Holy Ghost praying in tongues is not just, well, I got a revelation. That's wonderful. That's the bigger part of it, is revelation, Christ in you, the hope of glory change. But it's supposed to give you, he's supposed to give you divine wisdom for everything. So the appeal to the fleshly side is where you're supposed to live, how you're supposed to get the home, or how you're supposed to build a business, or anything. Now, don't get condemned about, because my God, if that was the case, I don't think any of us will be able to pick up our heads. But going forward, you do better going forward, don't you? Because you learn something. Praying in tongues is not just for divine revelation knowledge. It'll teach you the Word of God. But these promises are for those that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. Well, Sue heard that word desolation, and the Lord began to put understanding behind it. There was actually a confession made as a result of it, because the Lord said the enemy wants to bring to desolation. He would love to turn this land that we have into such a desolation that there would be no more remembrance of us. Why? Because we're hated. We're hated. Because we're divine, we're speaking into existence. I don't care. Listen, some of you can't make it because of the distance on Sunday night. I don't expect you to go way away and then come back on Sunday nights always. Some of you have family and stuff. God's not getting on you, and I'm not getting on you about that. But listen, Sunday nights is as valuable as anything we do. We stand here in the face of all stupid. We stand here in the face of all stupid. Because we look just as stupid as a rock, as dumb as a rock, and speak to empty chairs and say, thousands and thousands and thousands. Well, how's that working for you? It's coming, brother. I'm telling you, as sure as I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, thousands and thousands. Well, they developed a confession against what Satan desired to do, just turn us into an empty parking lot. We call forth, this is, you don't have to confess, just listen, this was the confession. We call forth the Lord's hidden ones to overthrow the enemies who desire to take the houses of the Lord into their own possession. Our God empowers the hidden ones to rise up and make our enemies like the stubble before the wind. Let the enemies of God be confounded and ashamed, that men may know that thou alone, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We say that. We speak that confession. That's one of the ones that God leads us in it. Yeah. So glory. Where does the hidden ones come from? Now, this message is not about the hidden ones, but where does even that term come from? Well, I'll tell you, last Sunday, there was a prophecy that I read Wednesday night. Seven times in that prophecy. And I I'd had no more thought about prophesying any of that, about using the word term hidden ones, as I would have taken a trip to the moon. I didn't even think about that coming in here. The Holy Spirit got a hold of me. We read the prophecy. We're not going to read it again this morning, although I'd like to. But the Lord began to speak over and over and over again seven times about the hidden ones. Psalms 83, just listen. A song of the sons, or the psalm of Asaph. Keep not silent, O God, and hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their heads, or their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said. Who said that, Pastor? Is there a man or a woman said that? Not in particularly, but the demonic forces that are over this region that have reigned here for decades and decades, the womenizing, extortioner type of extorting the poor, the mama daddies, and the daddy mamas and everything else, and the drugs and everything else, that is not only flesh, but it's also a spirit over a region that says darkness is going to reign here. And then when somebody with a big mouth like you and I come into this and then we start proclaiming, they begin to say, no, you're not. You're absolutely not. Now, the biggest thing that we found out in these last 25 years was this, that the precipitation or the thing that causes our authority to go forth is the death in the spirit or in the flesh that causes life in the spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The more you die, the more you live. In other words, there's no need at all in speaking to principalities over a region unless you're dead to the things by which they rule other people with. If you got the same thing going on in you, I love Proverbs 7. It's an incredible chapter. Solomon said, I saw this. He said, I saw this. But it's an incredible chapter because it talks about the harlot. But it's not just any, excuse my expression, she's not just any typical harlot. She's a married harlot. She's a married harlot. And Solomon said, at the casement of my window, I looked forth and I saw out of my house, I saw this young man being approached by this harlot. She caught him in the twilight hours of the fading of the night. And she kissed him. And with an imprudent face, looked with a sweet face and said, I have searched for you. And now I have found you. I have found you. He said, she's stubborn. Her feet bides not in her own house. She's everywhere in all streets. So it lets us know he's talking about far more than just a physical woman. But he says, this harlot kissed him and with an imprudent face and said, I have paid my vows to God today, and I have come with peace offerings. In other words, what she said was this, I've paid it forward. I've paid it forward. She said, I've made my sacrifices to God, and I've come with peace offerings. And made these sacrifices, so I've paid things forward. I'm paid up with God, so now I can have some flesh. You know, come on, don't shut me down. You know, people that you don't, excuse me, people that are in here for a while, you say, Pastor, you're going to cause me to mark people. That's okay. Don't disdain them, just mark them and say, I don't want to be like that person. People that are in here week after week, and then you don't see them for 3 or 4 months. Why is that, Pastor? Why? Why? It's the Proverbs 7. The harlot is the flesh that's married. She said, the good man of the house, the one that I should be subject to, the spirit person, he's gone on a journey. I've snuck out, but I've paid it forward. Why do you see people come and they'll just worship? I'm not talking about casual visitors or people that are, but I'm talking about it seem like, boy, they're getting rooted. And then you don't see them for week after week after. Why? Because they come to a place in their flesh that tells them, look, you've been a good little boy for a while. You've been a good little girl for a while. You've gone to church for 3 or 4 months in a row and you've paid it forward. So you're clean with God. You need some me time. Let your hair down. Let your hair down. And enjoy some flesh time. It's what the harlot said to him. Let's go make our fill of love. I've decked my bed with tapestries and carved works. She said, the good man's gone. I've slipped out of the house, the good man. That should be watching over me. It's not a common streetwalker. This harlot's married, just like you're supposed to be married to Christ. But she found opportunity by saying, I'll pay it forward. I'll pay it forward. Listen, that's not yours and mine. Mine and yours is this. We're stable all the way to the end, and the lamp of the righteous burneth brighter and brighter into a more perfect day. We keep going forward. Doesn't matter what we see. Well, these ones that have heard us speak these things over this region have said, look, we better do something about them. Why? Because they've got a corresponding message that really will, it'll sink our ship. Because everybody hitherto has done the opposite. They thought by speaking to us, that'd get rid of the flesh. No, you have to get rid of the flesh to get rid of the demonic spirits. Six chapters in Ephesians. Six chapters. But then he comes to 5.5. And after 5.5 of telling you how that you had to die and put the flesh in order and put the flesh in order in the way you spoke and the way you loved and the way you spoke truth in love and the way that you did all kinds of things. Somebody said, all you need is the new nature to live righteous. No, you don't. Absolutely not. Misnomer, wrong way to say it. If all you needed was the new nature and conviction and following that, he wouldn't have wrote Ephesians to tell you don't do this, don't do this, put off this, put on that. You need the new nature and the Word of God. You have to have both to follow him in righteousness and true holiness. But you get a bunch of people like us, they become a disgusting matter because they become a real threat. You become a real threat. You're an absolutely real threat because now they know that you've got a corresponding, the real power to get them out. Finally, my brother, at the very end of chapter 6, I'm exhorting. I wish I'd just go line on line. I can't help it. I'm exhorting Scripture rather than give you, but it's there. 6, Ephesians 6, 10, I think it starts finally. After all these things, after you've crucified the flesh, after you've done now you understand that you can speak to principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, and bring them down on a place where the vacuum causes. What is it? Why doesn't every city have? We just went to the movies the other night. We hardly ever go. I won't hardly go anymore, even if it's a good show, because the commercials are so disgusting. Just disgusting. I might go in late if I ever do find a halfway decent. Just disgusting. Jesus Revolution, go see it. But what happens? Why is it that all of a sudden an atmosphere comes? Because a maturing of the saints has brought forth a place where they can remove principalities, and a presence of God comes in. But until the saints ever come to a place to say, wait, true authority doesn't just come me speaking the name of Jesus. Because if I speak the name of Jesus and I am, if I'm running around to this running around with this Proverbs 7 harlot, I just get laughed at by demons. But you got a message like this in other churches where it's crucify the flesh. I'm sick of crucify the flesh. What is crucify the flesh? Crucify the flesh. I thought I was born again. You are. But you still got a boatload afterwards. Oh no, I was purged completely. I went from glory to glory. And I went from the old, somebody taught, I loved them, but they're wrong, absolutely wrong. They taught that the glory that you went through was that administration of Moses, and you, the instant glorification was that you went into the glory of the new nature, and that was it. You just instantaneously went from glory to glory. The only thing is they misinterpret the word, and they don't study the Greek enough to know that word from glory to glory. That word was archanged, which is metamuphe or metamorphosis, means a process of time. As I look into this mirror of him and I look at him, he comes to me and I say, oh God, why is it that you're convicting me of the things that seemingly everybody else gets away with? And he says, because I want you to raise up something that nobody else has. They don't have it. So I'm purging you. It's not a thing of getting to heaven. It's a thing of, will I love to the depths that there's no jealousy, there's no anger? Because those are all that thing of the harlot and attaching herself. Or Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I keep under my body lest having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Listen. You can purge the body and you can sanctify it. It can become a vessel of holiness. But you better understand that no matter how far you go in Christ, if you slack off, if you pay it forward, if you have there's empty seats in here by people who think they have paid it forward. If you ever start thinking, I have paid it forward, I can let my hair down and have a good time in the flesh, you better understand this, that the flesh will be just that same harlot again. And it'll brace the world and it'll take hold just like it did before. If you love money, she'll come and kiss you. If you love success, she'll come and kiss you. If you love notoriety of man, she'll come and kiss you. Say, come, come. We've paid it forward. Didn't you fast last month? Didn't you fast last year? You've paid it forward. Who else is doing the work that you're doing? You've paid it forward. Enjoy some me time. And I'm not talking about vacations are wrong. I'm talking about some time off in the Spirit. It will tippy-toe you right over to a place where your marriage is in jeopardy, where your life going forward is in jeopardy. And the way that they do it, those that speak against, as I read, I should have just read the whole thing. Let me read it again. Keep not silence, O God, O hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, your enemies, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken craftily counsel against thy people and consulted against the hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation and from being a church, from being a voice in the earth. Revival is here, folks. Now, whether it comes for, listen, if you don't think that it couldn't bypass us, if we all just begin to say, we've paid our dues. I've paid my dues. No, there's no point in which you've paid up. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. So I made note of the hidden one's prophecy. Listen to this. Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 17 through 19. Jesus answered and said to them, blessed, and to him, that's Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's turn to the back of your book. Or if you want to find it on your smart device, the book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 3. I just want to cover a few things real quickly. Hallelujah. I like the question God asked Gary one time. He said, when have you ever seen gates marching? Gates are stationary. But this gates are... won't prevail against what he's saying. The gates of hell won't prevail against a marching army. We're marching forward for the purpose of revival. We're marching forward for the purpose of seeing a regional outpouring. This is not, I thought years ago it was Immokalee. Now it's going to cover Naples and Fort Myers. Way up north of us, it's going to cover maybe, I don't know how far, towards the east coast. What are you saying? The presence of God is going to come so strong, we're going to get the dividends from that. In other words, the souls from that. And we're getting ready. And no, I don't know where the land's at yet. I'm just telling you that it's coming. And people are going to come. And they're going to come by the masses. Wednesday night, we were in the book of Revelation. We started out in chapter 2, and we talked about the church at Ephesus. There's a tremendous revelation there that he said, you have left your first works or the first love. The word protos or proton is the word first. It means the nucleus, or a proton is at the nucleus. It's the positive charge at the nucleus of an atom. And he's basically saying this, Ephesus, though you're really wonderful, it's amazing. They're what a doctrinal church. They had doctrine down pat. They could try apostles. They had all kinds of, he said, you have had hufomene, you've had patience. We've preached a lot about patience around here. I've preached, Homer's preached, patience is wonderful. But amazing enough, did you know you can have patience without the fullness of God's love? Well, how's that possible? Jesus said it was. Jesus, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first agape or first love. And we found out this, it wasn't just the first as in I first once knew you in this kind of intimacy, but it's also in that the priority. The first meant the priority of your life, that which was first in your life. But Jesus says a lot of things to a lot of churches. There's seven different churches. We can't begin to even teach on those seven different churches. Again, we've done that a couple of times in the last few years. But let's look at verse 7 of chapter 3 for just a moment, a church that I really enjoy reading about because it's the church of brotherly love. It's the church of Philadelphia. And amazing enough, Jesus really doesn't have a rebuke. This is one of the only churches that he doesn't warn, as in having some kind of really something to warn them about. But let's read starting at verse 7 concerning the church of Philadelphia. And to the angel, Revelation 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Let me read that to you once again, because we're discussing, this is not an exhaustive teaching on the key of David. I'll just tell you, if you read most commentaries on the key of David, what's the key of David? You know, there's one other mention in Isaiah concerning the key of David. And they'll tell you, and they're not necessarily wrong, they're talking about how David entered into his administration and he was able to open up, free the people from the Philistines, free the people from all these other nations. That's wonderful. That's powerful. That's truth. David had that. But the real key of David here is one. I asked Jesus a while back or just recently, I said, what is the key of David? He said, I'm the key of David. I am the key of David. And we know this by the Mark 16 verses that we just read. He said that I give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth is bound in heaven. The actual Greek says, and if you read it out of the Amplified, they did a good job, whatever you bind on earth is already subsequently, or you'd say the earth is subsequent, but it's already bound in heaven. That's the will of heaven. So when you and I stand up on a Wednesday or a Sunday night or any time and say, we say Immokalee is in revival, these are truth. It's truth. And when we speak truth in the earth and proclaim it as if God has the right to do it through us, then we're also, now we can't be in here doing that. You understand this. I just said it. So there's no need to belabor it. You can't be in here running around with somebody else's wife or looking at nasty things on the internet. I mean, that's, Pastor, can't you say it a little more properly? I'm just saying it just like Immokalee people understand it. Don't bark at the devil. He'll slap you every way from Sunday if you're not walking in a place where you're saying, crucify my flesh. Do you arrive? No. The covering over you while you're still changing is that you are doing the things. You're speaking to your flesh, and you're reading the Word of God, and you're praying in tongues, and you're fasting. Hallelujah. But he said this to the church of at Philadelphia. I'll read it again. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my faith. Now, a little strength doesn't mean that they were barely hanging on. We taught that a few years ago. The word strength there is the word dunamis. But we taught on what little is, and it wasn't talking about that they barely had little to stay saved, but they were a little congregation or a little movement per se, or they did not have the flash of the Laodicean church, which said, we've got it all. We got plenty of money. We don't need anything. Everything's okay. And the Lord says, I know that you've got little strength. It doesn't look like you're much in the earth, but he promises Philadelphia something. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. And we've taught on this, and I'm not going to go back in this morning. I'm just going to read down through 13. And are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus was saying this to John. These are letters. These are words in red, and should be in your Bible or maybe your smart device. These are words Jesus spoke, and he spoke them to John. But he said, I have the key to... he said, I am the key. He said, I know thy works. And he said, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Listen, we are opening up this region through our works, not just through our confession. Thank God for that week that we just had with Jim. It was so, so wonderful. Jesus said in Revelation 22:16, I'll just read it. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and am the bright and morning star. Let me tell you a quick story. Just recently, a friend of mine that I went to college with, he was really my best friend in college, but he didn't stay as long as I did. He went on, and Candy and I lived in Lakeland about 2.5 hours from here. And we were there for 4 years. But we would come home a lot of times, most of the time on the weekends, especially holidays. My friend Terry Bennett would come home with me. He was one of my best friends. We had classes together. We lifted together. Terry was a lifter. He loved the Lord. But 20-year-old kids hardly know what you're going to do. We didn't know, 19, 20. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to be a youth pastor. Well, I'm going to be an evangelist. Everybody wants to be a youth pastor or evangelist. Mm-hmm. Everybody you meet in college. So I'm going to be a youth pastor. Well, I'm going to be an evangelist. Wonderful. We didn't know what we were going to do. So we had classes. And because Terry wasn't married, he went on and got married, had three huge boys and a beautiful daughter. I believe it's three and one. But so he wasn't married at the time. So we would bring Terry home with us on the weekends sometime, or holidays, especially on the holidays. And he would enjoy, because he couldn't go back home to Tennessee. And I'd say, Terry, you want to ride down with Candy and I and spend a couple days and be with the family? Well, he loved that. So Terry, it was amazing. Terry went on, and he wrote a number of books, and he also was one of the major co-founders of IHOP Ministries. IHOP Ministries in Kansas City. And since then, he's left there, and he's no longer an intricate part of that ministry, but that's worldwide, and everybody knows International House of Prayer. But Terry just recently got in touch with me, and at times we'll talk, but it was amazing because he recently, just last week, he got in touch with me, and he was, 1 week went into the next week, he was looking for some stuff, but you know how God, he was looking for some stuff concerning the college years that we were together, and an annual and different things, but you know how God, once you get past the fluff of how's your dog, and how's your lawn doing, and how's your, all that kind of superficial stuff, then you get right down to business. You get down to what God wants you to do. So then he finally began to tell me, he finally got back in touch with me, and I knew Terry's really solid. He's really solid. He's got a strong ministry and church in Tennessee. But I'll just read you some. I'm not going to read you all because some of it was personal and as far as prophecy to me. And Terry is a, I would say, a prolific prophet. But he doesn't come off that way. Very humble man. We're same age, same height, same, I don't know, you know, just a lot of similarities. But he said, "Hello, Bronk." I'm going to read you part of his email because he got started, and some of it I've left out because you don't want to hear everything concerning me, and that's not necessarily profitable for you right now. But he said, "Hello, Bronk. I hope I'm not being a pest too much here. I believe I received encouragement for you guys." He didn't call it prophecy, but he's world-renowned. Now, people all over the world know him as a prophet. He would never call himself a prophet, but they would know him as such. "I believe I've received encouragement for you guys corporately, but simply submit it here. The words basis," and I like somebody will give me a word basis, "is Revelation 3, verse 7 through 13, which we just read, and Isaiah 22, verses 22 and onward," and that's where it talks about the key of David. "And Terry said, I saw you being given this key to the house of David and this open door in heaven and an open heavens before the throne of God. The Lord within you, among you, corporately," that's all of us and you, "and then through you unto his great will and purpose in this time. The Spirit of the Lord was mighty in true, powerful proclamation of Christ in these times. And there was a personal and a corporate application to this work and word." And he said, I'll stop here, but he couldn't stop. You know, a few minutes later, he goes, well, kind of with trepidation, it was like, I hate to add some more, but I got to tell you, it's coming, and I can't help it. I keep hearing all this. "There will be an ingathering," he said, "of souls, but also a gathering of his people who desire to be gathered to the Lord with others in his journey." So we're seeing that. You'll see that in the days ahead. Not only an ingathering, but a gathering from other places, people that are coming here. "Proclamation through you will have a significant measure of his fire in burden and purpose. You'll be part of his royal possessed end time vessels or vessel that leads a part of his own into his depths and his relational riches till the end. Those who have willing ears will hear as the oracles of Christ are released." Hallelujah. Well, we receive that word, don't we? We know that revival is here and that it is among us. Let me read this because I exhorted it, but let me read this. Ephesians 6 and following, 10. "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he said, pray for me, and for me that utterances will be given to me. This is Paul writing, of course, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, as I said before, Paul teaches by writing 6 chapters, and he talks about the whole time in 5.5 chapters. It was verse 10 that we started reading that he tells us how to begin to speak directly to principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and any other imp that's out there. Move them out of our region. But for 5.5 chapters, I've taught this before, but for 5.5 chapters, he teaches you how to crucify the flesh. There's 5 chapters of killing the flesh before you're qualified to move back the forces of darkness. Now, we're doing that. It's not like we need to, I'm not telling you, get started on it. Many of you are still doing it. But many are still having a real problem with the Proverbs 7 harlot. They're still, they get far enough along in God. But listen, I'm trying to help those people. Those people, however many there may be in our congregation or people watching, they're not a threat to me, and they're not in no wise going to stop revival. I don't need them to be corrected to help us have revival. If they make it, they'll make it. If they don't make it, they won't make it. But that's neither here or there about where we're going. Do you understand that? We just want them to make it. We want everybody to make it. But the church at large now is coming out of a place where they're saying, wait a minute, I'm qualified to bring forth a great outpouring. God's given to me an assignment. And now I can begin to speak to principalities and powers over a region. Most want to move back the darkness, I said this before, in a state of uncrucified flesh. Let me close with this. I'll just read this. I was going to have you turn it. Let me just read it. But we have this treasure in 2 Corinthians 4:7, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side and yet not in distress, and we are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. And this is what Paul's epitaph was: always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And that's our mortal body. Listen, revival is now. It is now, but please, 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 invest as much as you can. Some will be able to invest more, and I'm not talking about financial. Invest yourself. You know, do the hokey pokey, put your one foot in, you put your one foot out, leave your old foot in, and don't take it out. Put a toe in. Like, I don't pray. Well, pray to go into work. Well, I don't pray at all. Just, well, how many showers do you take a day? Bathroom time. Excuse me, I don't want to be vulgar, but before you flush, you should be sitting there praying in tongues. Do something, I beg of you. I beg of you. Because before long, you remember that old song? You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. Hey, yes, sir. Before long, you're going to find out that you get a toe in, a leg in, you're white. Wait a minute. God's helping me. God's helping me. Maybe I'll put another leg in. I won't take it out. And then she comes with an imprudent face. No, you've been to church 6 weeks in a row. Yeah. Could I get a little kiss? Let me hug on you a little bit. Youth fasted three days 2 weeks ago. Yeah. You deserve. You need to slap that harlot. You don't have to pray today. Slap that makeup right off her face. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me. We worship you, Jesus. Well, I threatened 1:30, 2 o'clock, but we're before 12. Isn't God good? He's nicer than I am. Hallelujah. We love you. We thank you for being a part of this and not giving up and staying going forward. Jesus, we love you. For those of you watching and everyone in here, if you're not born again, today is your day. All of those watching, if you're not born again, if you've not received Christ into your life, pray this simple prayer with me. If you want more peace, if you want more life, if you want those thoughts of suicide to go out of your mind, if you want that hatred that you've had for someone to go out, here's where it starts. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. And I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you need some direction, I got 10 lessons for free. For free. And they're at our website. And you just go to our website, bronkflint.org, and you'll find on the face page discipleship training manuals. You can listen to them. You can watch them. You can read them. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Thanks for being a part of today's message. Amen.